The Athletic.
The following contains explicit content from the off.
We managed to finish 9, a plus of an hour slow, in the best league in the world. This place is a fortress and it's still fucking rock and roll.
Welcome to Brentford Football Club. Location, a bus stop in Hounslow, West London. Nicknamed the Bees. Budget, small. By Premier League standards, Brentford's a modest club. It's located right next to Twickenham, which is the home of rugby. Its stadium, the G-Tech Brentford Community Stadium, succinct, sits right by the busy main road into West London, surrounded by tall corporate buildings on one side and the River Thames on the other. It's commonly referred to as the Lego Stadium, thanks to its seats, which are coloured red, yellow, white and black and scattered around in no discernible order. Much like the box of plastic bricks you probably grew up with. But what it does have is charm, and if you could finance a football team on that alone, well, Brentford would beat champions Manchester City with ease. Not that it matters, they did the double over Manchester City in the 2022-23 season regardless. And in the nicest possible way, a club of this stature shouldn't really be here. Here, being ninth in the Premier League, finishing as the top team in West London. And it's not me saying that, it's manager Thomas Frank.
It should be impossible to compete against Chelsea that splashed 600 million in 2 transfer windows. But we managed this.
Their wage bill is just 14% that of Manchester United's, the highest in the league. And they've beaten all of the top 6 over the last 2 seasons, despite being in the 4th tier just 15 years ago. So how did a club of this size get into the top 10 of the toughest league in the world in just their second season of Premier League existence?
Do you know what? I don't know if I should say this, but what's weird is I didn't even realise that Brentford had a football club until I was like 14. That's how bad it is.
I'm your host, Jay Harris, and I'm going to tell you how this club went from near obscurity at the turn of the century to a club everyone has their eye on, using data, innovation, and no big corporate or nation backing. This is Access All Areas Brentford, Episode 1, a bus stop in Hounslow. Before we dive in, you're probably wondering about this bus stop in Hounslow business. That's what rival fans used to chant at Brentford fans to belittle the club, but it's now become a badge of honour. Despite their humble background, Brentford have big ambitions. There's more to Brentford than a bus stop, as we'll find out. In 1993, after the Premier League's inaugural season, Brentford were relegated into the third flight of English football. In 1998, they dropped down into the fourth. At the start of every season, there's no certainty where you'll finish, thanks to the jeopardy of the football pyramid. For example, Leicester City won the Premier League title in 2015-16 and the FA Cup in 2020-21, yet they got relegated last season and they'll be in the Championship next season. And with that, Brentford has known times when it wasn't certain that the club would survive. Here's Chief Executive John Varney on the state of the club in the early noughties.
If it wasn't for the fan groups, then the club wouldn't be here today. You know, it was really on the brink that they pulled together. They shook the buckets, collected the money, kept the club going until Matthew came along to take the club on to the next level.
That Matthew, by the way, is owner Matthew Benham, who I will tell you about shortly. But our story doesn't begin there with the bucket collectors. We're going to skip ahead a bit and begin at a church in West London in June 2012. To help me tell the story is Mr. Brentford. That's not actually his real name.
Okay, well, my name's Peter Gillam. I'm now a club ambassador. I've been supporting the club this year will be for 70 years. I'm the longest serving PA announcer in the UK.
In his goodbye to the club in 2023, Captain Pontus Janssen said,
"So Brentford, Peter, you made me realise what this club meant. The passion I got for this club, it came from you. You have been my inspiration. And in my eyes, you know that you are Mr. Brentford."
Peter's the guy. So, back to the church. Matthew Benham becomes majority shareholder on June 18th, 2012.
Please
please put your hands together for the best owner in the world, Matthew Benham.
According to Peter, Benham is
the saviour for Brentford Football Club.
Here's how his colleagues at Brentford describe him.
The first time I went into the office and saw this guy in the corner, I mean, it could have been the cleaner, you know, just ill-fitting T-shirt and jeans and messy hair.
Unbelievable owner who provides unbelievable stability for the football club.
Matthew is one of the smartest guys you'll meet.
Genius, probably in contention for one of the best owners in football, in my opinion.
He's very, very good at putting the pieces of the puzzle together in order for that vision to come to light.
I get excited by discussions with Matthew because he's got a lot of knowledge around sport in general.
Benham made his money from companies called Smart Odds and Matchbook. In short, he's made it from betting. Here's Benham's lawyer and Brentford board member Niti Raj to explain how it all works.
So Smart Odds is a sports research company which Matthew set up in order to be able to predict the outcome of sports slightly better than the market does. But at its core, it's really just making the maths work to achieve the outcome of the client. And for sports gamblers, that is so that they can beat the market. And it turned out that the shavings from that sculpture that you were throwing away on the floor could be repurposed to help run a football club.
Right now, if you follow football, you're probably thinking about Brentford's talisman, Ivan Toney, who was banned in May 2023 from playing football for 8 months for breaching the FA's betting rules 232 times. These rules stipulate players and staff at clubs in England cannot bet on any football match taking place anywhere in the world. They're banned from betting on other football-related matters too, including transfers and managers being hired or sacked, while you can also get in trouble for passing on information to other people. The rules exist to protect the game's integrity and avoid accusations of match fixing. Toney won't be allowed to play again until January. How did Brentford sit with an owner who's made his money from betting, have a different betting company on the front of their shirts, with a player who's been diagnosed with a gambling addiction? It's a good question, and one we'll be asking later on in the series. So, when Benham takes over Brentford, they're in League One.
Uwe Rosler was the first manager who changed the ethics of the football we played. Under the auspices of Matthew as the owner, changed our course of direction with regards to football, the quality of football. Uwe Rosler was when football for Bees fans changed totally.
Brentford played at Griffin Park. The Bees had been there since 1904. Its capacity was 12,500. And for away fans, it was known for...
Oh, what, the four pubs, yeah.
That's the first thing people talk about, I suppose.
A pub on each corner. Something truly unique in football. But that's not how the ground is remembered for home fans.
It was a fortress, I'd say that. But it had character. It was a place that people called home. A place that people love and care about.
It was a homely ground. Fantastic atmosphere. Albeit down from 38,000, which was capacity at one time, down to 12,500.
If you just had an imagination of how you thought like lower league English football was, then you would just, that would be the perfect description of it, or that would be the perfect picture of it. You were sat sideways with your knees because the seat in front of you were too close when you were sat in the stands. If you were a away team, you could not close the door on the toilet if you were out there taking a dump. So, you know, all these sort of things were just... crazy, and we only had one toilet in our change room, which was a good changing room, and it was just so small and tiny, but everyone in the team loved playing there. The pitch was always good, the atmosphere was always good, it was always a sellout.
There's a bloke in front of me that would always be trying to find information. He'd always know about the opposition manager, and he'd be shouting all sorts of things about him, but he really would have done his due diligence, so he'd know about their family, his brother, sister, wife. Some of them really reacted, but it's kind of a bit of theatre. I loved it. It was football at its purest.
Benham had been planning his takeover of Brentford for some time. In 2009, he wrote,
I do believe I may be able to bring expertise to help the manager identify players of potential value to Brentford.
Okay, that's probably not how he sounds, but Benham doesn't do many interviews, so we can't be sure. Although, it's probably more like this.
I do believe I may be able to bring expertise to help the manager identify players or potential value to Brentford.
And the aim?
I am offering to invest substantial sums of money into the club in order to help Brentford to become a championship team.
And I think that's, if I'm brutally honest, that's probably as far as I thought they may go.
First step is to make it out of League One, the third tier, and they get their chance in Benham's first season as owner. April 27th, 2013, Brentford need a win against Doncaster Rovers to secure promotion. And in the final minute, they get a penalty. However, normal penalty taker Kevin O'Connor isn't standing over the ball. It's Marcelo Trotta. Former player Carly Osborne was watching on.
I remember seeing it and I remember thinking, what is going on? Why is Kev not taking it? I remember it and I couldn't really believe it.
Trotta's penalty crashes off the bar, Doncaster counter-attack, and James Coppinger scores. Doncaster get promoted and crush Brentford's dreams.
Coppinger has made it 1-0 at the other end. I don't believe what I've just witnessed.
2013 is also when Benham meets a man called Rasmus Ankersen. Ankersen is, according to his own website, a best-selling author and a trusted advisor to businesses around the world. More on him momentarily. In 2014, Matthew Benham acquires 100% of the club and manager Mark Warburton gets promotion to the Championship. Achievement unlocked. At the same time, Benham also acquires Danish club FC Midtjylland and he sets up a knowledge sharing agreement between the two clubs. And heading it all up is one Rasmus Ankersen. That will be important later. The line trotted out is that Benham wanted Midtjylland to be a testing ground for his ideas on how a football club could be run. His exact words to Brentford Supporters Trust Bees United were,
"Their culture is a bit more open-minded. They have much less hierarchy or much, much flatter, so anyone can state their opinions, whereas there's elements of English football which are more like the 70s, know your place, that kind of thing."
Look, it's worked. They've won the Danish Superliga 3 times and got to the group stages of the Champions League. Fast forward to 2015, and Brentford finish in the Championship playoffs unexpectedly. The playoffs are another brilliant invention of English League football, which is code for, doesn't hugely make sense, but is great fun. If you don't finish in the automatic places, you get a second chance via the playoffs to go up to the next tier. They are pretty stressful and something that Brentford are not historically any good at.
Here's a dome of great football from Middlesbrough. This should be the third and it is. What a fantastic goal. If you didn't think before that was it, it certainly is now.
They go on to lose, but that's not actually the key thing that happens this year. Remember Rasmus Ankersen? He becomes Brentford's co-director of football with...
I've got loads of crazy ideas, don't worry about that.
Phil Giles, director of football, Brentford Football Club.
This is how Phil's colleagues describe him.
He's somebody I feel very proud to know.
Without wanting to embarrass him, he's the best boss I've ever worked for because he's incredibly bright.
Another genius. It's not nice being in a room with these guys. You know, you're always thinking, have I said that right? Or, you know, he knows what I'm thinking before I do.
They're a great team, Rasmus and Phil. As current manager, Thomas Frank says.
I think the way him and Phil complemented each other, I think the two of them and Matthew have been massive in the way they built the club. Rasmus definitely is the one that's a little bit more outspoken, innovative, a little bit more wild, where Phil is more calm guy with good processes.
Phil Giles was one of Benham's proteges at Smart Odds.
So I applied for a job with him in 2007, got a job as one of the mathematicians, quantitative analysts, 2007, progressed from there to lead the team 2010, and then 2015, having progressed sort of through that industry, he asked me to come here and do this job with a guy called Rasmus Ankersen. We worked together for 6.5 years as co-directors of football, and it was kind of a really good partnership because we both brought very different backgrounds but brought very different skill sets to the table. And what I brought in was outside experience.
Their philosophy was if Brentford could not outspend their opponents, then they needed to outthink them. But first, they needed to set out their targets.
Well, the short-term aim has always been to get promoted. Don't forget that when we came in 2015, we just finished 5th in the Championship, lost in the Championship semi-finals to Middlesbrough. And Rasmus and I got announced literally the day after that defeat, that semi-final defeat.
In a dugout, it was goodbye to Mark Warburton, the man who'd got them to the playoffs, and hello to...
Marinus Diekhuizen, I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Diekhuizen.
Diekhuizen comes in. And no, just mentioned Marinus Diekhuizen then. Again, I think I'm saying his name incorrectly, but I'll go with it.
Marinus Dijkhuizen.
There you go. That's why you're the PA, not me.
Look, leave me alone. It's a really difficult name.
So when he left after 9 games, what was going through your head? Were you thinking, was there even a part of you that was thinking a little bit worried here about the direction Brentford are going in, or you just had ultimate faith it was going to get sorted?
To be honest, I did worry. I think a lot of people learned from that. I think Marina's probably learned from that whole experience coming into an English environment. And maybe we brought in too many people at one time, but it wasn't change for the sake of change. It was necessary to sort of deal with what we found at the time.
So,
Marina Starkusen.
Last 9 games is removed in September, and Brentford finally find their new man in November. One, Dean Smith.
Dean has been absolute quality. His football was part of what Matthew would have wanted. He fitted the bill. It was perfect for Brentford. And he proved to be successful. Did I think he would be the one to take us to the promised land? I can't say now that I did. But I had high hopes that we would get better and progress.
The innovative thinking didn't stop with Rasmus and Phil, though. 2016, the year of the B team. You might have heard of this if you've heard of Romeo Beckham. You know, David's son? That's his team now, Brentford B. It consists of young players aged between 18 and 21 that Brentford are developing for their first team. It was placed under the guidance of Robert Rowan, a man close to many at the club. He sadly passed away in his sleep in November 2018, aged just 28. I'll tell you his story in a later episode, but for now, here's how Robert is remembered.
The people who worked with him just remember how kind of warm and friendly he was, and how he went out his way to meet new staff, take them for dinner, integrate them in the area. And so when you talk about, you know, important culture, good culture, how do you create it? You create it by having people like Rob around, taking the time to make sure and look after it.
B team football is innovative. It's successful. But it was also controversial. More on that later. Into 2018, and Dean Smith, whose tidy football has caught the eye, is poached by Aston Villa.
I've left a fantastic football club with a fantastic team who are going to be pushing, and we need to go and push them because they'll be up there this season.
His replacement is a bit of a surprise.
Thomas Rank from Denmark, 49 years old, and I'm the head coach of Brentford.
It's assistant manager Thomas Rank, a former teacher who had coached Denmark's youth teams and spent 3 years with Danish side Brøndby, but he was relatively unknown outside of his own country. Now Brentford were entrusting him with the responsibility of taking them to the next level.
There's no better manager anywhere. He is absolute class.
He's also a lot of fun.
But that final whistle, I think that's the purest form for, what you call it, enjoyment in your body. There must be, it's not happy, it's
ecstasy.
Yeah, I never tried that, so I don't know.
But he's just level headed, grounded individual, and he's played a big part in obviously Brentford taking the steps that we've taken over the last 4 years since I've been here.
Humble, open-minded, and just a good guy.
To have somebody who has both that exceptional confidence and the ability to question themselves, to surround themselves with experts, to improve themselves, is extraordinary.
He takes a bit of time to get going, winning just one of his first 10 games.
I think Thomas had a really tough start when he first took over, but then after that something just clicked and something changed and he finished the season very strong.
I remember the first day I took over or stood in front of the players, because I've been used to be a head coach all my life, in either it was four under eight in grassroots football in Frederiksværk, where I came from in Denmark. It's like just 2 years stepping back, not being in front of them. There was a little bit, you know, butterflies, and you know, knew all the players. So I would say a tiny bit rusty the first week, and then boom, natural again.
Move on to 2020, and yes, we've reached the pandemic years. Brentford missed out on automatic promotion to the Premier League by a couple of points, but they still had a chance to go up through the playoffs. Brentford reached the playoff final, and they were up against local rivals Fulham. Getting promoted to the Premier League will earn clubs around £178 million, boost their global exposure, and allow them to attract better players. It's been called the biggest financial prize in world football,
For a club the size of Brentford, those sums of money are transformative. But overawed by the occasion, Brentford lost 2-1 to Fulham.
It was horrendous. I mean, because it was an empty stadium. And it was almost worse not having 20,000 or 30,000 Brentford supporters and 30,000 Fulham supporters and them celebrating us not. It was even worse because it was so hollow. You know, I remember sitting in the dugout and then just to our right with the Fulham people in the dugout, and they were just celebrating it almost straight in our faces, and it was absolutely horrendous.
It's also the year they say goodbye to the ground they've played at for 116 years.
It's probably difficult for people. They see pictures now of how Griffin Park was and it's being flattened.
And they lose their BMW. That's side Benrahma, Neil Mope and Ollie Watkins. Well, Mope was the year before technically. They were the club's best players, but they had to be sold to keep their ambitions going and to reinvest the money around the rest of the squad.
When I said, look, we are one of the best teams in this division. We know there'll be one or two changes, not too many. We're not planning on ripping the squad apart. We go again in 2 weeks. Crack on.
In 2021, Brentford missed out on automatic promotion again, but they returned to the Championship playoff final. They've been to the playoff finals 9 times by this point and never been successful. Brentford were facing Swansea City.
I actually felt really confident.
And they got off to the perfect start with 2 early goals.
Tony delivers again!
A red card for their opponents.
Owen Jensen clearly fouled by Fulton, and he is gone.
I genuinely believe that everybody within this building felt we was going to do it.
And really, the whole thing went quite swimmingly.
I looked at Matthew, we're 5 minutes to go, we're 2-0 up, they're down to 10 men. And I said to him, only we could screw it up from here. And we got through it, and honestly, the celebrations were incredible.
There's a new saying in a part of West London, 10th time lucky. Brentford are in the Premier League.
If you watch the video of Pontus Janssen lifting the trophy, you'll see another man next to him, not wearing a kit, just a simple white polo shirt. That's our guy, Peter.
And for Pontus to turn to me and say, you will lift a trophy with me, it just, I get emotional talking about it now. It was just an amazing moment. The fact that he could think that at that time, when it meant everything to him. And for me, apart from when I got married to my second wife, it was the best day of my life.
Something you worked so hard for something over so many years. We had the biggest disappointment the year before, and you know, you're standing there on the edge. Either you you drop down or you're fine. Everything just came together.
Brentford won 2-0 and got to the Premier League, but that certainly wasn't going to be where they stopped. So you've beaten Swansea, you're preparing for the Premier League. Were you feeling confident that Brentford were going to stay up? And if so, what gave you that feeling of confidence?
The answer is yes. So do you want a little bit more? Or?
If you wouldn't mind.
That's okay.
We'll save that for the next show, because with the promised land of the Premier League finally achieved, Brentford's reward is to form part of the curtain raiser by hosting London's most successful club, Arsenal.
The first game of the season, stadium being full for the first time, fans are back after COVID, live on Sky, worldwide audience, that was massive.
I think Thomas mentioned that a couple of times, that around 1 billion people or something were watching that first game of the Premier League. But he presented us as we should enjoy it. This is what we've been dreaming of since we were 4 and we started playing.
I think that the boys were such a good place. I have such a big belief in them that actually we'd be disappointed if we didn't win the game.
Okay, I need to pause the music because this story from Thomas Frank is just too good.
I had to pick up my parents from the airport. They were a little bit delayed. We were running a little bit late. And I was just throwing my parents off. The cab arranged for them to come and all that. And then I was thinking, fucking hell, here I am. I'm coming, arriving late to the first Premier League game. Because I had to pick up my fucking ceremony language and fucking parents. So I went into the back room and all the media in the world was there lining up. And I was like, fuck, this is going to be impressive. And then we went out and beat Arsenal, huh? Easy.
Norgaard.
I just remember, of course, Mass throwing it and then me just taking a chance of where the ball should end. And then, the takeoff, hitting the ball with closed eyes and then just, you know, feeling the buzz. It's sort of a crazy feeling that you can't really describe, but it's just pure happiness running through your blood and through your body. So yeah, this is those moments you'd cherish for life.
And it was, for everyone who wasn't connected with Arsenal, a joyous occasion, right? I mean, Thomas Frank was kissing children at the end and they're all singing Hey Jude. And I'm thinking, this is the worst thing I have ever watched.
Next time on Access All Areas Brentford. How do you recruit to face the top teams week in, week out?
First of all, don't listen to outside noise.
Why have Brentford become so known for bringing in top talent?
I can't tell you that.
And what are their next steps now that they are in the Premier League?
For us, it was all about pin our ears back and just go as hard as we possibly could.
Time to pin the ears back then and go for it. How do you actually pin your ears back? Access All Areas Brentford was hosted by me, Jay Harris. It was written by Jay Harris and Abby Patterson. It was produced by Abby Patterson, with additional production from Max Davru and Jay Beale. It was an Athletic Media Company production.
The Athletic.